Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Freaking First Cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap for this week's Phoenix Open. Not even close to being finished. KP, we've got a lot and not that much to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. We have a lot of golf stuff, not a ton of PGA Tour stuff. Did you see the caddy bibs this week?
I did not. Admittedly, I've not watched a lot of this, although I guess there wasn't a ton to watch on Thursday. But I did not. I did see your tweet, though, which I was reminded of what they look like.
It actually reminded me of when you and I got in that garbage truck on site last year.
It's the greatest moment.
Or maybe it was just me. I don't know.
I have the photo of it, though.
Yeah, it's just such a stupid, like, the caddy bibs are reflective. Just a silly, normal, sporty, funny thing. I wish more, you know, I was telling somebody today, actually, I met with a guy that runs a local business here in where I live in Dallas. And I was telling him, yeah, there you go. There's Growler. There's probably a joke to be made about Spieth's irons or something. But I was telling this guy, I was like, man, Phoenix, and you're big on this, and I've always appreciated it, but Phoenix, I think, maybe does the best of any event of leaning into what it is, you know? Right. And I think it's sure, it's the 16th hole. That's an obvious example and not super replicable, but it's also reflective caddy bibs. You know, it's being sponsored by Waste Management, and I don't know, like, that's a little stupid thing, but I think it's part of the whole ethos of sort of leaning into what you are, more of what you are. And yeah. And I think that, correct me if I'm wrong, but your thing has always been that more tournaments should do that.
Yeah, the tee boxes are little garbage trucks, and that event might not be for everybody, right? There might be people who hate that the thing's a giant party and that you boo players who miss the green. I mean, I did watch this morning. There were overrated chance when Jordan Spieth made bogey on 16. That is aggressive.
And that is sick.
There are people who are not going to like that, and that's okay, because we are leaning into this and this is what we are. And there's going to be plenty of people who do. Yes. My thing is, it doesn't have to be the 16th hole. It doesn't have to be a party hole. Lean into something. I thought Riviera leaning into the glitz and glamour of LA and Hollywood and all this. Just lean. You can't be a vanilla PGA Tour event like the two dozen other vanilla PGA Tour events.
One example, again, it's you can say it's silly and some of it is, but the rink in the Canadian Open.
Yeah,
I wish they would put. And maybe they've done this. Maybe I didn't see it last year, but do they have boards up on the side?
They have boards. Yes. By the tee boxes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you can, like, bang on the boards. And that's sick. Like, that's ridiculous. And that's what regular season golf should be. It's not a major championship.
Speaking of leaning into things, I was at LIV today.
Here we go.
They lean into some stuff over there.
Yeah. Well, I guess I wish I had gone to, there haven't really been any events near me and it's not something that we would necessarily travel for, but were you, did the day and the event meet your expectation, exceed it? fall short? Like, how did it meet kind of the idea in your head?
Yeah, so I was actually thinking about this last night. Like, what are my expectations? Mm-hmm. And I was trying to go in very open-minded with little expectations, right? And I've said for a couple of years, like, hey, if Liv is near me, I should go see what's going on. And I obviously tried to look at everything through, like, I'm just here for a day of golf, right? Yeah. There are still things that are coming out about the the worldwide politics of things that involve Liv and Piff and everything else. And I said, I'm just going to go to this event and see it as a Thursday golf event, the first round. And it was, there were a lot of things that I think were confirmed from what I've heard from other people, which is like the music is not nearly as intrusive on site as it comes through in the broadcast. Like, and we were near a TV and I could hear it more through the TV than I could hear it in real life. Like, yeah. I don't know if it's being piped in or what. It was very fan oriented. Now, not, you know, they have the Golden Knights mascots there and the cheerleaders and magicians. And like, there's a lot of like photo ops and kids are loving it. That stuff I don't particularly care about, but it was, I mean, they lean into, hey, we're going to make this for like families and you're going to have a good time while you're here, whether you're watching the golf or not.
That's interesting. I think I've really struggled, Rick, with separating the global politics in the golf.
So right. High. Yeah.
And I think at first, at the very beginning, they were so intertwined that it was like, I don't even know how to talk about these separate from one another, right? Because there wasn't a golf product yet. It was just such a, and even into last year with like going to the Trump courses, and it just felt so intertwined in politics. And now I think for the first time, we talked about this with Maya Koba last week. It feels like, okay, we can actually talk about the golf product, mm-hmm. right? And maybe that's on us for not being able to kind of untangle those things earlier, but it does feel like you can sort of talk about the two separately. And maybe that's what they want or what not. I think sometimes it's hard because it's like, man, there's so many people that work at Liv that like have nothing to do with the Saudi Arabian government.
For sure. Right. And, and they are just trying to like
do a good job,
do a good job.
Yeah. And that's so unfair to them. But you know, I struggle to know what's the right way to sort of talk about all this. And I think we've done an okay job, you and I, of saying, okay, right now we're talking about this as a sort of arm of their government or as a government entity, which is a weird thing and something that we've struggled to understand and figure out. And now we're talking about it as a golf thing, which is more of our world and more of kind of what we understand. And I think as a golf product, I mean, we talked about this with Maya Koba, it's not bad. And I think it seems to be getting better.
The roster is really good, or at least way better than it used to be. It is now at least like watchable. I mean, I remember tuning in the first couple of weeks and being like, I have not seen a good golf shot hit yet. Like, yeah. I don't know what's happening.
Brooks was sucking and it was.
Yeah. I was like, this is wild. Now, what I will say, KP, because we've talked about this a lot, kind of like what the end game of the team stuff is. Mm-hmm. They're all in on the team stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, everything is branded by team. Everything. You see those logos everywhere. You see in the merch, each team's like merch has little nods to guys on the team. Like only on the high flyers can you get like coffee tumblers. And like, you know what I mean? Like there's very like specific, like they are all in on the teams. And we've talked about good, bad, and different. Is it worth having a team event or a team result every single week? Should that be just season long? But I learned today very clearly, like there's no way they just cut the teams and do without it. They're in on teams.
Yeah. And I think that, I think a lot of the ways they've gone about that have been silly and not strategic or not. I mean, they've all been strategic. They haven't been very good in terms of strategy. But broadly, I think it's smart because I think it opens up a bunch of revenue streams. I think it, it differentiates you. One thing I noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, but I think the only player that I noticed that wasn't wearing team gear. Did you notice this?
Is it Brooks?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Which
Brooks
is
still wears his Nike stuff, I think.
That's a flex, right?
Yes.
When you're rolling in, you're like, yeah, I'm good.
And I wonder if there was ever a conversation about that. Like as he's signing his deal, like, I'm going to wear whatever I want, or I'm just, hey, you can send me that stuff, but I'm going to roll up it whatever I want.
I would believe either one with him. But even Rom is in DJ. And I read this article that it was a state-run media article. It was on the Liv website, but it was about Phil and the high flyers and the team planning. And it read a little Saturday Night Live-y where you're like, is this a parody? You know, he's talking about like opening champagne bottles with sabers, and you're like, okay, like that's a lot. But there was an undercurrent there of like sincerity, of genuine, like, and it made me think, man, if this was a little bit different context, and a different sort of structure to the league, I think there, I don't know, like there's something kind of cool about it. And I don't know, I'm fascinated to see what happens with the team stuff as the leagues theoretically merge back together.
I'm glad you said the word cool, because so Mina was there with me, and there was things where I was like pointing, like there are definitely things I was like, that's cool. I mean, their graphics, their branding, they've got these massive scoreboards everywhere that are showing you. I mean, it's an unbelievable job that they do with the branding and the graphics and stuff. But I felt, and I was thinking this earlier, they walk this line between corny and cool constantly.
Yeah.
And some stuff is cool and some stuff is corny. And you're just like bouncing back and forth between like, oh man, this is cool. This is cool. It's just like, that's the way I felt all day long when I was out there.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I don't know. It's really hard to get past. We've talked about this a bunch, but it is hard to get past the names and logos. It's just so, I guess it's very easy to criticize when we don't have to, maybe we should do this as a thought exercise, but we haven't come up with anything better, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody made the point, I can't remember, maybe somebody on our podcast on Tuesday made it, or maybe on the Friday Egg podcast that I was on or something, where it was like so many sports teams and their nicknames are tied, even if they're goofy. Oh, this was Andy Johnson on the Friday Egg. Like his example was the Thunder or the Magic, right? Where you're like, oh, that's kind of like, just in a vacuum, you're like, that's kind of like the Thunder is kind of dumb, but it has meaning because it's tied to a specific place. And I think that's where Liv gets, and even like the TGL stuff, like they tried to tie everything to a specific place, which I think is actually pretty smart, but it's hard because like it was still kind of random. I mean, I guess it was like the owners were from those places or they lived in those places. But when you've got Adam Scott and Rory and Hatton, I guess Keegan's kind of from Boston area, but it still felt a little like, I don't know, just pulled out of thin air a little bit.
And there are, and yes, and to, you know, the Pelicans is kind of weird. But even there are some teams that, like the Lakers being in LA doesn't make any sense anymore. Because they were originally from what, Minneapolis, and that was the land of 10,000.
But at least there's like a history, like something there that it was originally tied to.
Yeah.
And yes. I think I was talking to some friends. I was on a run this morning with some friends, and we were talking about the whole professional golf landscape. And my buddy who follows it casually was like, yeah, I think it'd be really cool. I wrote this in the Normal Sport newsletter, just a true hierarchy with everybody, like a true pyramid, not nine different leagues sort of interacting and sort of part of the pyramid, but like a true top 100 guys. They play these 15 events. You're in the bottom 30. you're out, right? Because what golf doesn't have going for it, I pointed out to him, is like soccer can be so fractured and so broken up with a ton of different leagues because the teams are tied to a location. And if you are from Manchester or you are from Liverpool or whatever, you're Madrid, you are always going to be a fan of that team, no matter what league they're in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't. We were talking about international soccer, and I was like, I don't know what the cups and the leagues are, but fans of those teams do. It doesn't matter how fractured it gets, because they're always going to be a fan of that team. But with individual sports that are not tied to any place, I think it does matter how fractured it gets, because when it's fractured and that turns you off, you're like, I don't even feel allegiance to any of this. So why would I ever pay attention?
Right. It's the same as like, I'm not going to root for a league. So why am I going to root for like, what am I rooting for at this point?
Exactly.
Like, what am I rooting for actually?
Yeah. So anyway, that was just one thing I thought of today.
Okay. Well, we will reset. There was an insanely low score shot in the world of golf today. And then we'll update you on what is going on in Phoenix on a very soggy TPC Scottsdale. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Who you got this weekend, right?
Chiefs.
Plus what?
I thought the line was two, but I thought, are the Niners favored? I thought the Chiefs were favored.
No, Niners are favored.
Oh, okay. Then I'll definitely take the Chiefs.
So Chiefs plus two. I think that's the play.
I didn't tell you. So we went to the CBS Sports setup at the
Blue. Oh, the Moose.
The Moose is loose.
Oh,
and,
I bet he
is. And he is on. He is. I mean, this is his mecca. I mean, it's not only the Super Bowl, but like it's on the Strip. People are stopping. He is just. He's like. He's got Baker Mayfield. He's got it. I mean, he is just in his element.
Yeah, he might be commissioner of the NFL by the end of the week.
He's got my vote.
That's for sure.
It was
absolutely.
It was pretty cool, man. I mean, there's like three massive stages right next to each other. It's right between the Strip and the Bellagio fountains. Like it's insane. There you go. Oh man.
That was a good pull, Josh. I was thinking about the Moose this week because I was just excited for him. That's like such a cool stage for him, and I had it on. I was kind of writing and working. I think it was yesterday. I had it on. Just saw him just vibing right next to the fountains. And I was pumped for him.
It was so good. It was so good. Okay. So while they were in a weather delay in Phoenix, there was an event on the Corn Ferry Tour in Colombia. And Cristobal Del Solar shot a truly historic score. Not a typo, KP, a 57 out in 27, in 30. That is 13 under par on a par 70. He had two eagles along the way. And I mean, this is a score that would make Kim Jong-un blush.
Was it Un or Ill that shot the 30?
I think it was Ill. Yeah, I got over my skis a little. Kim Jong-un's the guy now, right?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why? I think it was Kim Jong-il who shot it.
Whoever it was. yeah, it's sick. He missed a six-footer for 56. He made a four. He parred the last three holes to shoot 57, which is how many threes is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 13 threes and a two.
I mean, now, it's a joke.
That's crazy. Two things. One, it's 6,200 yards. Okay.
And they played preferred lies.
And two, they played preferred lies. I don't, I mean, 57 is 57. It's filthy. I did joke, and people didn't get it, obviously, but I said I only recognize 57s that are shot on par 72s. I didn't realize at the time that I made the joke that it was a 6,200 yard course, which actually, that is the real issue. I don't care about par. I do care about distance, right? But it's still, I mean, it's still insane.
Do you care that he gained, I think it was 13 shots to the field?
I thought it was like 9.
Really? Yeah. I tried to do the quick math earlier. Maybe I screwed it up. I don't stand by 13.
Somebody tweeted 9 or maybe 10. About strokes gained. I mean, Neiman last week, 59, he gained like 11 or 12.
Yeah, no, I think it was 11 something. It was a good. So here's the issue that I'm having. So that scorecard that we see on screen is a par 70. I'm actually in the PGA Tour like the tracker, like the media tracker, and they have this listed as a 71, which is why I guess my number might be off here. They have this listed. This is not right. They have this listed as a par 71, 7,200 yards. That is not right.
Mm-mm. That's okay. On ShotLink?
That's on ShotLink.
That's not even close.
No, it's not. So
I do care a lot about.
Oh, I'm sorry. They're playing two courses this week.
There you go.
I'm sorry. Yes. Scoring average was 66.5. Got it. Okay. That's.
So nine.
You played the shorter course.
9.5.
Yeah.
Which sick, right? Like 9.5 will be one of the rounds of the year.
Yes. It'll be very top, top percentile for sure.
But again, strokes gained. I feel like I'm poo-pooing on a 57. I'm not trying to do that, but strokes gained does not.
There's gonna be a 62 that gains like 9.5 strokes to the field.
Josh pointed out there are 11 62s or better. So good round, but not 57 at like TPC Sawgrass or something.
This is like when you see the tweets that are like, what would a pro shoot if he comes to your local muni?
Exactly.
Got it.
Yeah. 62. I feel like I play longer than 6,200 when I play my local muni.
Dude, the place that I normally play is like 66 from where I play. Yeah. The longest I'll ever, I actually played, it's right here on the strip. It's Bally High. I got talked into playing it from one farther back than I would have liked to, and it was like 7,000. I'm like, this is way. I'm hitting driver three wood into every par four. This is way too long for me.
I think Augusta National from the member tees is like, just to get people I'm gonna get this wrong. I think it's 6,500.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't from the member like to be, yeah,
like where Fred Ridley plays from.
Right. Yeah, that's 63 is kind of different.
Yeah, still sick.
Still sick. Congratulations. He might not even win the tournament. We'll see. Okay. Phoenix. So here's the issue that we had with Phoenix. We knew there was a little weather in the forecast. I don't think we knew it was going to absolutely dump, and it set them back a couple of hours. The early wave is kind of just finishing up right now. There are guys in the afternoon wave who have not teed off yet. There is probably a group or two that will not tee off or maybe get a hole or two in, because as we record this, I think they've got about an hour of daylight, and there's just going to be a lot of golf to get caught up on here in the next couple of days.
Yeah, there is. Is it a situation where they can get caught up by Friday night?
Well, you're going to have to go.
Probably not, right?
No, I don't think so. They'll have to get caught up on Saturday.
So they'll bump it into Saturday. Yeah, it's a bummer, because then it just, well, I guess it's good for the crazies that get there on Saturday morning, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, cause they're going to go off like, cause I imagine on Saturday morning, there are going to be guys who are playing it's almost gonna be like a shotgun start because people, they're gonna have to finish up round two and then immediately flip it into round three.
Yeah. Which is, you know, this event, some events you'd be like, oh, that sucks. But this event, it's kind of, it'll be great because there'll be people there, you know?
Oh yeah. That's the other thing I was going to say about LIV. There wasn't really anybody there. Now I will tell you this. Thursday at Shriners, there's also nobody there.
Well, that's the thing.
Definitely nobody there.
Even Pebble last week.
Yeah.
Do
you think this drama keeps anybody away? Because the viewership numbers are basically the same, if not sometimes better. Right?
Yeah. I don't think people go to golf tournaments to see golf, really. Some people do. But even for me, like if I go to a golf tournament, well, this hasn't happened in a long time, but if I just go to a golf tournament for fun, it's mostly going to be to like walk around with my friends or my kids. It's not necessarily because like I'm invested in, you know, what Trey Mullinex shoots in the first round.
Yeah. Cause it's kind of hard to follow if you're there.
Yeah. Yeah. So to answer that question, no, not really. And I think the TV point, I've actually been pretty surprised about the numbers, but I think what it's made me realize, Rick, is it's so, there's so much institutional inertia where it's like, oh, Sherrill Park, the place that I play at here in Dallas, they've just got it on in their clubhouse and they're part of the, I don't know how the Nielsen ratings work, but I presume it's a bunch of stuff like that they're never not going to have it on. Right. And like my dad or whoever it's just on, like it's just, and DJ Piechowski's talked about this. It's I'm making this tournament, but it's institutional inertia where it this is why there are no needle movers. Because it doesn't even matter. You just have CBS on Sunday afternoon.
Hmm. Okay. That's interesting. And that adds up over time. And yeah, no, I could get behind that. Phoenix. So Sahith Theegala is sitting in the middle of the fairway on number 9. That is his final hole of the day. And that is important because he is currently the solo leader. So it has taken him all day to get this round done, highlighted by a 3 straight birdies on 2, 3, and 4. That was on his second 9. And he continues his great play around TPC Scottsdale.
Yeah. I regret not picking him for the one and done now.
This also, I feel like this place doesn't make any sense that he plays well at, but he has gotten a lot. I never get him right. He is probably the hardest guy to handicap for me. And I don't know why he plays well here, but he does.
Why does it not make sense that he plays well?
Because I think that he would get into too much trouble off the tee here. There's not a lot of trouble, but like if you, there's, you know, 5 holes with water off the tee, you can find yourself in the desert a little bit. I just don't think this is a great spot for him, and yet he proves it wrong.
So last, so players in the field this week, best true strokes gain at TPC Sawgrass, Scotty, Hideki, JT, Sungjae, and Sahith.
At TPC Scottsdale.
Did I say TPC Sawgrass?
You did. So I just want to make sure you weren't looking up Sawgrass.
No, I was not. I was on Scottsdale. Yeah.
Okay. It sounded like you were based on the guys that you said, but I just wanted to confirm that.
Too much trouble is in like, if you're in the desert, it's hard to, cause I keep going back to the thing you said about it's a little Augusta like in that you have to hit these shelves on the greens. So when you're in the desert, you can't hit those shelves. Is that sort of what you're saying?
I think the most part on desert golf courses, when you get into the desert, you are just at the luck of the draw. So sometimes you get a really clean line. It doesn't matter that you're in the desert. And sometimes you are in a footprint, and sometimes you are up against one of those weird little bushes. And sometimes it's just like, you're just kind of, it just introduces more luck into it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good point. He just kills this course though. I mean, he's been awesome. So I love it when Sahith is in contention. One, because he's an emotional player, and I think that's always interesting. And two, because he is kind of erratic at times. Yeah. And He's a little Spieth-y, which is always fun.
Speaking of erratic at times, Jordan Spieth gave us some of the Spieth experience. He made a 50-foot putt for birdie. He hit it into the water on a layup. He holed out from a greenside bunker, and then he made the turn, KP. That was all on his first nine of the day.
What hole did he try to lay up on? Was it
15? He tried to lay up on 15. It's the par five. It's like an island.
Who did that last year in the final round? Was it Nick Taylor?
I don't know if he tried to lay up, but didn't Rahm hit it into the water?
Rahm. Maybe it was.
You were right behind Rahm.
Yeah.
And he hit it into the hit into the water right on 15.
And then he gets overrated chance at 16 as he turns in.
I mean, I could not.
That's
the overrated chance.
I respect the heck out of that.
And that's the only hole in the world in which that flies.
Yeah. But I love it. It's awesome. I mean, typical Spieth front nine, three pars, two under. And so
three under total. He is, as of this moment, three shots behind Sahith, who is playing 18 right now, but that's three shots off the lead and half the field to go. So, I mean, he's in it. He's big in.
I want to see him like go get one. Like a pre-Masters, hey, I'm going to win this by four. I don't know if he is that player anymore, but I'd love to see it.
Oh, God. Spieth winning in the calendar year before the Masters always gives me goosebumps.
Yeah.
I love that as a subplot. Like, it doesn't even matter if it's January, February. It doesn't matter. It's just like, hey, he won three starts ago. Now he's going to Augusta.
Yep. And I think that, I don't know. I don't know where his game is at. I don't know if he certainly has more confidence than he did in like 18, 19, 20, I think, but he's not at that 15, 16, 17 level. I think he's probably, you know, somewhere between those two guys, which is a very good player. I just don't know. I don't know what he is. Is he JT? Is he as good as Morikawa? Like, who's better at golf right now? Jordan Spieth or Colin Morikawa?
It's Colin Morikawa. It's not even remotely close. Right?
I think, but like,
they make me feel different, but it is not remotely close.
Well, I think that's the thing. It's like, on a Friday night, if they're both one back, who do you feel?
Well, I fear Jordan Spieth.
Right, which is kind of weird, right? I think on paper you're right. Morikawa is like consistently a top five player, but you look at the leaderboard and Spieth just still jumps out.
Okay, I'll tell you this: if you play 1,000 holes, Morikawa whoops him. But if I have a bet on a long shot trying to fend off either Jordan Spieth or Colin Morikawa, I am more worried about Spieth.
Yes, yeah, and you're more worried about him in chaotic situations.
Of course. He lives in chaos.
Which is every back nine like of a at the end of a tournament.
Yes.
And so I think that part is, I don't disagree with you about the answer to that question, but it's still, I think, is an interesting thought exercise because of just the chaos of it all.
There is a chance Jordan Spieth gets Friday off. Right, because they're going to have to, round one is going to have to be played for half the field. They're going to have to flip around and play their second round. He has an afternoon tee time. He might not get on the course on Friday.
Right, and then maybe go 36 on Saturday, which would be
so sick. This happened when we were there last year, right? There was a couple of guys who had to play 16 twice in the same day.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I do love that. Okay, outside of that, I mean, there's just kind of a lot going on here. Shane Lowry played well, got in at a 4-under 67. Joel Damon, for the first time in a while, put together a good round. Matt Fitzpatrick as well. I mean, there's just so many guys who are one hole in, two holes in, or who have not teed off yet. It's hard to actually give this like a real,
it's a
real look at it.
It's so early. Is Scotty still the? Do we have favorites? Is Scotty still the favorite? I know he's like three holes in or something.
Let's see. So Scotty is he is 4.5 to 1, and Sahith is 6 to 1. So yes, he is still the favorite.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if he putts, he'll, Patrick said this on Tuesday, if he putts, he'll win, and he's putted here. So,
who was your one and done?
JT.
Has he teed off yet? No. Oh, 1 over through 2.
Sick.
Love my it. My guy, Sam Burns, 1 under through 2. So, okay.
Are they playing together?
On pace to just beat the absolute crap out of them. I don't think, I have no idea. I don't know. I clicked the group thing on the PGA Tour's website. And it didn't pop up. So.
Did anybody else? Did Kitayama or Adam Scott finish their rounds?
Kurt is even through 3, and Adam Scott is even through 2. No, these are they're all afternoon wave guys. Yes, Burns and no, I don't know what Josh is saying. Who did you ask me if they're playing together? Burns and
JT.
They are playing together. Is that right?
Oh, I don't know.
I think they might be. Okay. Anything else?
I don't think so.
I did see it live. So they added, obviously a 13th team, and all the stuff, like all the signage was updated. All the grandstands were updated to show all 13 teams. Do you think that there's a warehouse somewhere of just all the old stuff they can't use anymore? All that stuff that's brand new.
I mean this seriously. If somebody from Liv sends me some signage from like some Crushers signage, I'll put it right there. Put it back there.
It would be a huge thing, but it'd only have 12 teams on it. So they can't use that.
Yeah. I would seriously throw it back there.
This is a trivia question because I could not think about it today. I could not remember. I still don't know the answer. So Bubba changed his team's name to the Range Goats.
Okay.
What were they before?
The Niblicks, right?
Niblicks.
The Nibbies.
Cleeks, yes. Okay. Cleeks still exists. They were the Niblicks. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've got a trivia question for you. My buddy that I was running with this morning. He's like, I played in a pro-am. He didn't mean to give me a trivia question. He just couldn't think of the guy's name. He's like, I played in a pro-am with a guy that's currently 52. I think he played in the pro-am with him a couple years ago, maybe longer than that, but he's currently 52 years old, played at Florida, has blonde hair, and won 5 times on the PGA Tour.
Oh my gosh. I feel like I should know that. That's a lot. 52. See, 52 is like right outside my...
Yeah.
Right outside my range. 52, University of Florida Gators.
Yeah.
5 wins, blonde hair.
He gave me like so much information. It was crazy to me that he couldn't think of the guy's name because he had like everything else about him. I guess Chris DeMarco, I don't think he has blonde. I mean,
I don't think he has blonde hair, does he?
He has like brown hair. That was wrong. I guess Stuart Appleby, I don't think he went to college.
Yeah, he's from like Australia, right?
Yeah. I was flailing. I was trying to think of people that were like roughly Phil's age I thought of Justin Leonard. Obviously, he didn't go to Florida. He won more than 5 times on the PGA Tour.
5 wins is a lot, though.
It is a lot. Yeah. And so because it was 5, I started thinking Ryder Cup. I couldn't really get anywhere. Stuart Sink. I couldn't get anywhere. And the answer, it's a little tricky because the 5 wins are not good.
It's not
good
ones. It's not Aaron Baddeley, is it?
No.
No, he's not old enough. Okay, who is it?
Brian Gay.
First off, so he won like Bermuda like 3 times.
Yeah. That was what threw me off because I was trying to think of like people in the like Charlie Hoffman type, you know, like right. Good. Charlie Hoffman's a good player. Brian Gay was not. I mean, he's obviously very.
I forgot he 52 is actually older than that because I remember when he turned 50 because he was like really struggling, and then I was like, oh, he's gonna crush it on the senior tour. I can't believe that's been 2 years. I guess it has been.
Yeah.
Wow. It's
pretty crazy.
Brian Gay, shout out. All right. We will be back. I presume Friday night at sundown in Scottsdale. Look at this sun coming in my screen. Look how pink this is now.
That's crazy. It looks like you have a filter.
Yeah, I kind of do because the sun just crested into the hotel room, and there's a film on the outside of this, and it is now full on pink in here.
That's wild.
Wow.
How are you staying in Vegas?
We're leaving Saturday morning.
Okay.
Getting out before the chaos.
Yes.
It's already through the strip. It is insane.
That's the pro move, is to get out of Super Bowl, just the town on Friday night or Saturday morning.
Yeah. We did all the festivities. There's a ton of like happy hours and meetings, and like everybody's in the same city. You know, it doesn't happen all that often. So like people you see, it's like all that. And then once you get done all that, you get the hell out.
Yeah. Are you hanging with the Moose?
There's a chance we see the Moose tonight. Maybe chance to see the Moose tomorrow night. Kind of those are our two chances, but yeah, that I would like to bop around Vegas.
There's a chance you're working in the NFL front office on Monday. Who knows?
I'm his chief of staff.
You would kill. You would be awesome. He's a perfect commissioner. You're a perfect chief of staff. I'll document the whole thing. I don't know. We'll make it happen.
I imagine the next first cut will be sundown in Scottsdale on Friday. Until then, big thanks to producer Josh, does all the hard work behind the scenes. Kyle Porter is available on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been the first cut. We'll catch you next time.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.